So we're looking at this, and the whole title of this whole series, all the way up until we get into our Christmas series, and it's Prayers of Christmas and some really cool stuff there. But right here, we're talking about thinking bigger. I don't know if you know this. If you look up think bigger, you're going to find online mostly stuff about entrepreneurship, business, think bigger. Do we have that up on the screen? Okay. So this thinking bigger idea is that there's more going on than what you can see. There's more going on than what you can experience. There's more going on than it just being about you and what you can see and feel and touch. And I don't know if you've experienced it, but, you know, I think I commented on this. Not too long ago, I made a comment on, or I posted a comment on Facebook, and it set off a firestorm. And I legitimately am naive in that. I come to understand that I should have paid closer attention, but at the same time, the reality is people get very, very myopic about what they see and what they hear and what they feel. Is it possible that God would be calling you to take a step back and look and see what other people are saying, why they're saying it, ask questions rather than make assumptions? Maybe. But there's more. Thinking bigger means that it's actually that you're part of something bigger than you, and you get to enjoy it. And you get to enjoy it potentially. Anybody watch Karate Kid ever in their life? You know the Ralph Macchio, right? Wax on, wax off. Daniel-san was being called to think bigger. And he had a hard time with it because he was just, like, he wanted to learn karate so he could chop bate, right? He was just, like, ready to go. And he wasn't learning anything, and he was frustrated. And one night he just decided, I'm done. I'm leaving. Mr. Miyagi says, no, Daniel-san, why? He's like, I'm just your slave. You haven't taught me anything. I don't know anything. I'm out. And he said, sand the deck. And he goes, I'm not sanding your deck. I'm tired of this. I'm gone. And he says, Daniel-san, sand the deck. And he's like, no, I don't want to. And he goes to kick him. And he blocked it. And he's like, I've learned some stuff. And then he tells him, paint the fence. And he goes to hit him and he blocks it. And he's like, holy smokes. I've been learning some stuff while I thought I was slaving. Come on now, friends. There's so much more going on. Think bigger. What you and I are going through is not all there is. And there's a lot to what we're going through that we don't even know yet. We often, when we're struggling, we want to get through something quickly or out of it quickly or around it quickly. And we look for some kind of loophole. And God's like, no, let's go. Let's do this. I'm developing something in you. Philippians is about that. Paul is writing to a group of people, the first church in the European continent, okay, in Macedonia. And in Acts 16, if you go back and read that, and we did that for a while, right, went through the book of Acts, it was outstanding. Well, in there, that was when he met the Philippians, he got put in jail in Philippi. And it was cool, they had like a worship night in jail, and God set them free, and they stayed around. And the jailer and his family got saved. It was so much bigger than just getting put in prison. And he's writing back to them. He's thanking them for a gift that they gave him because now he's in prison again. This homie was in prison all the time. We think of people who are in prison now as just a big fat mess. And we write those people off. Sometimes people are in prison because of their faith. Sometimes in this country, but more times in other countries. And he was in prison yet again, and it was so much bigger than that. He was in a Roman prison, and as we're going to read, he told the imperial guard. So this was the household guard of the king of the world at that time, the emperor, the Caesar. And he was telling them, because he was in prison, he was telling them about Jesus, and that got in to Caesar's household. So much bigger than they could have thought. And he was trying to encourage them. Here's some main ideas that I want us to be kind of looking at. I'm really going to go through these quickly. But look for these as we go through this for the next month of time here. Look for contentment, peace. Look for joy. Because joy is mentioned, or rejoice, or something of that matter, 20 times in these five chapters. 20 times. Look for perspective. Again, seeing the bigger picture. And we're going to see that God is on the throne, and he always will be. Always. Even when what we're seeing looks like, what's going to happen? We have two people to vote from, and they're bad. Or that one's bad, and this one's less bad. Or my Savior. I mean, that role has already been taken. His name is Jesus. And so God's on the throne. We'll see that. Look for humility. Again, this God who's on the throne came and gave himself away. One of the main themes you're going to see throughout the Bible and throughout the story of Jesus is humility. And we see it again in Philippians. And then endurance, hanging in there. Painting the fence for a long time. Hang in there. God's developing something in you. And then being aware of the situation you're in. And like I said before, not trying to get out of it, but engaging it. Getting to it. And we're going to see fellowship. We're going to see the word partnership. Real quick, we're going to read the word partakers. And so this partakers of grace, it's a fellowship, it's a partnership. It's koinonia, it's being together in not only needing grace, but receiving grace and grace transforming us. And we all get to be that. And then finally, look for the fact that he talks about being a citizen of heaven. A citizen of heaven. Not a citizenship as a Jew, or for him, he was actually a Jew that had Roman citizenship. He doesn't cling to any of that. He clings to his citizenship of heaven. And in so doing, he's recognizing nothing can be taken from him. Nothing. So I have this phrase, and it'll be up on the screen for you, and I want you to think about this as we're going through these themes, as we're going through Philippians 1 right here, right now. When turning our eyes, minds, and hearts to the power, joy, and fellowship of the gospel of Jesus, it allows us to think, love, and live bigger. I'll say it again, and we have it on the screen, and thank you so much for putting it up there. Turning our eyes, minds, and hearts to the power, joy, and fellowship of the gospel of Jesus helps us to think, live, and love bigger. So with that in mind, this power, this joy, this fellowship, this gospel allows you to think, live, and love bigger. Let me ask you this question. Who or what can threaten the advancement of the gospel of Jesus? For real, who can? I don't know, maybe type it in online real quick and let people know, because there's got to be somebody, because a lot of us live in a lot of fear, like the kingdom is just falling apart. I think the empire of America is falling apart. But I know that the kingdom of God isn't. Brendan, you had your hand up, though. I don't want to lose you. Fear and laziness. So that can stop the advancement, right? It can threaten it. Maybe mostly in us, right? But the kingdom's happening. But he brings up a point, and this is called out all the way through the book of Philippians, that it is not us. It's not, way back, my kids and I are going through the book of Genesis together, and then we're now in the Exodus, and we're talking about the Pharaoh, and he's going to stop. No, he got stopped. But for us, fear and laziness keeps us from letting God's kingdom advance in us. But as we're about to find out, he's faithful to complete the work that he began in us. You want to take longer? Okay. You know how it is, right? We can do this the easy way or the hard way, right? And God's not abusive. But I want to give you, and I don't normally do this. This feels really kind of probably next level preaching to me, but I've got five ways to think bigger, okay? Can you guys show me, just show me five just real quick. Help me out. Caleb, is that you with Wazoo gear on? Good job, boy. No, you're not on TV. Praise God. All right. Just kidding. I love you. It's good to see you guys, all of you. All right, so five ways to think bigger. We're going to Philippians. I want to remind you that outward appearances can make it seem like the kingdom is not advancing. I'm reminded this week in some really serious ways that what looks like death can bring life. What looks like the pain that cannot be overcome is about to be a breakthrough. And so I want to read for you out of the notes in my study Bible. It's called the Gospel Transformation Bible. By outward appearances, as Paul writes, there's little reason for the Philippian believers to actually rejoice. Their beloved leader, Paul's in jail. They face tremendous opposition from enemies. Their church is experiencing envy and disunity. One of their key leaders, Epaphroditus, has nearly died, not once, but twice. And some of them are subtly teaching confidence in the flesh rather than the cross of Christ. So how can they rejoice? Well, let's find these five ways to think bigger. Philippians 1, and we'll go 1 through 8. Paul and Timothy, bond servants, slaves of Christ Jesus. I want to remind you at this point, remember who it is that you're serving, because we all serve somebody. Every one of us. Something that God put on my heart this morning when I was rereading this text. Do you guys remember the first miracle of Jesus? Do you remember where I was? Say it again. Was that a wedding? Was that a party? Do you know he told the people who were servants to fill these water jugs, huge ceremonial washing water jugs with water. Water is not always in abundance in the Middle East. But they were out of wine, and he says, fill these babies up with water. And his mama says, just do whatever he tells you to do. Do you know the first people to know that the miracle had happened were the servants? They were like, no, man, that was water. We put water in that. When you're serving God, it can look and sound and seem really weird, but think bigger. There's more going on. That's bonus. That was just put in there this morning. So, all right. So this is to all the saints, all the set apart ones, all the Christ ones, all the little Christ in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. So the shepherds, pastors, elders, and the deacons, the servant leaders, all of them, this is to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. Always, every, all. This is big talk. But this is his heart. Why do I thank God all the time? Because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now. You remember me when I was in jail there? And you've been with me now. You gave me a gift now. I thank God when I remember you. And I'm sure of this. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Listen up, y'all. If you don't get anything out of today's message, let's just ruminate on this, baby, for just one moment. I am sure of this, that he who started, he who began, he who initiated the good work in you will complete it. He will. And I love this. It says, right, at the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, second time, he doesn't come back. He's like, hey, guys, I'm here. I just thought I'd show up and check on everybody. How you doing? Nope. He comes in glory. And every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Now I'm jumping ahead to Philippians 2, but it's okay. Here's the point, friends. This is the beauty of all of it. Jesus is king always. And he's king when he comes back in a way that everybody's going to be like, oh, whoops, or yeah. And you and I get to rejoice now, and we get to celebrate now because he's faithful to complete the work that he began in you. And so that's going to be one of my think bigger fives. So I just kind of camped there for a second. All right. Verse 7. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace. Both in my imprisonment, and I believe that he's talking about his imprisonment when he was actually in prison in jail when he first met them. And also, you're my partakers of grace, fellow partakers of grace, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness. I mean, seriously, this is saying, I swear to God, God knows how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I think Paul likes these guys. I think he actually feels drawn to them and he loves them. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a trained observer, but it just jumps out of the text, right? Is there people like that in your life? You're just super stoked about their faith and their partnership with you in grace. And you just got this affection. You just see them and you just go, oh man, it's so good to see you. If you don't have people like that, I pray in Jesus' name that you will be people like that and you will find people like that. Okay, so here's the first think bigger for you. Five ways to think bigger. Number one, knowing God will finish his work. God will finish his work. He's the one that started it in you. Not just that you prayed a prayer when you were in kindergarten, but then when you were a senior, and now when you're a senior citizen, he's faithful all the way through all those times, and he won't stop. The next one, number two, you get two out of these first eight verses. Thinking bigger is a prayerful, thankful, and joyful heart, no matter what. Hey, remember when I was in prison? Still am. But God's good. We're partakers of grace. We need his grace. Listen, I don't know where your mindset is at on how the pandemic's going to pass once November 3rd happens, or we're just going to get to a better spot because there's going to be some kind of a vaccine that'll eradicate it, as if that would truly ever fully happen. I don't know where your mindset is on that, but I'm going to tell you, many, many Christians, many mature people in faith are struggling deeply because they're wondering where God's at in all of this. But some are growing more and more thankful, more and more prayerful, more and more joyful and hopeful because they have to rely on Jesus. Oh, looks like we're going to need God for this one. Amen. You need his grace just like all of us. Let's go to verse 9. And it's my prayer. Now, I don't know if you caught this in Ephesians, but Paul be praying a bunch. He prays all the time. And he's praying for his people, and he's praying for himself, and he's praying for us even down the road. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Like, not I'm praying you get love. He's like, you have love? I want it just to keep growing. I want it to abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. I don't want you just to have a big heart. I want you to have a big brain too. I want you to have both. And God's like, yeah, that's how it works. So that you may approve what's excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Second time he's talking about the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. There's a lot I want to talk about right there, but I'm just going to keep it on this. The third thinking bigger, third way to think bigger, loving more and more and still growing in understanding. God made you holistically, friend, mind, body, heart, and soul. You don't have to check your brain in to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, he didn't give you a brain to save you the problem of thinking. He said, look, let's grow in both. What's sad is that a lot of times people know this baby inside and out, and it puffs them up rather than builds them up because they leave love out. We have this, everybody falls short of the glory of God, so some people mistreat people because of that, forgetting that they are also partakers of grace. So when you actually understand Jesus a whole lot more, you grow in love and in knowledge and discernment. Now on to verse 12. We're coming home on these fourth and fifth ways to think bigger. First one, right? Knowing God will finish his work. Second one, you have a prayerful, thankful, and joyful heart no matter what the circumstances. Happiness dependent on circumstances. Joy dependent on Jesus. I'll take joy, please, for 200. And then loving more and more and still growing in understanding. Be big-brained and big-hearted people because of Jesus. Verse 12. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Think wax on, wax off at this point. What looked like really, really bad stuff is actually advancing the gospel, because nobody can stop it. So that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Now, he got sent to us because he was a rabble-rouser, but what he actually was doing was proclaiming a different kingdom, this Jesus. And everybody knows now why he is in prison. And most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. Can I ask you something? How do you get emboldened by somebody who's suffering? Anybody have a thought on that? Anybody up there in the top? Yeah, Ben.
You get emboldened by somebody who suffers for a cause you believe in.
Amen. Good. Ben says that you get emboldened by seeing somebody suffer for a cause you believe in. I would go even one step further and say, who suffers well. Not, I thought God was going to save me. I think John the Baptizer kind of had one of those moments. He's in prison, and he was supposed to be the forerunner of the King of Kings, and I believe that he was, and he did. And then he like says to the two disciples that show up, hey, will you go ask Jesus if he is actually the one that's to come, or should we expect somebody else? You see, because his circumstances were lame, somehow he thought, maybe this guy isn't the one. Hey, lame stuff's going to happen. God is always good. It emboldens us when we see other people emboldened. I tend to believe what I see believed. We talked about it, right? We're imitators of God, or we imitate somebody else. Okay. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. And they're much more bold to speak the word without fear. Wait, we know you can go to prison for this. And they're like, yep, let's go. No matter what, we win. Christian, no matter what, we win. So how is this fourth thinking bigger going to work its way out in you? Perspective. Have a bigger picture. By the way, boldness is contagious. And I'll say there's a negative aspect to that too. When people say, eh, forget God. Look, I'm not following God, and I've got a nice car. I've got a nice woman. She's only my third one. And I've got all kinds of different things in my life that make me so happy. Really, why in the world do you tend to cling so desperately to things that are going to rust, die, wear out? But look at my life. But that boldness, right? We tend to go, oh, well, you got money. You got things. You've got the freedom to do whatever you want. I can't even watch the Seahawks game when I want to. That sounded really, really personal, but it's not. All right, let's finish verses 15 through 18. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry. What? You could preach Christ for a bad reason? He says some do that, but others from goodwill. The latter, the people that do it for goodwill, they do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. So they're like, look, apparently the gospel is worth dying for and going to prison for and struggling for, and so we're going to actually live that out too. We love Jesus, we love Paul, we're doing this in goodwill. Now the former, the people that actually do it out of envy and rivalry, they proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, trying to get themselves to advance, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Some of the people are preaching Christ, but they're doing so to try to make it harder on Paul. And that would be really lame. These are people that he knew and that he probably helped raise up in the faith. And now they're trying to make it harder on him and make their names more important. And they're proclaiming Christ for those reasons. And he says, what then? It's like, what? What am I supposed to do about this? Some of them are good and some of them are bad. Some of them do things for the right reason, some of them do it for the wrong reason. He says, only that in every way, whether in pretense, which is a lie, pretend, or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. The final one, and it's the big one, and I left the big one for the last, is keeping Jesus' gospel central. This is called gospel-centric, center, Christocentric, being Christ-centered. So friends, this morning I'll conclude with reminding you of these five ways to think bigger out of Philippians 1 through 18. Number one, know God will finish his work. Number two, a prayerful, thankful, and joyful heart helps you no matter what, as you're thinking bigger than your circumstances. Number three, loving more and more and still growing in understanding. Not just knowledge, but discernment, right? Number four, having perspective. Thinking bigger is stepping back and going bigger picture. Like, how's this going to advance the kingdom? I don't know how it's going to work. Do you remember we're about to look at the Christmas story again, as we've called it in our culture. And there's this beautiful story of a man who could not get his wife pregnant, and he longed so much for a child, but he had kind of come to the end of it. But he goes in as a priest, his one time in his lifetime, he'd go into the Holy of Holies, and he's praying. He's praying for all the nation, and he's praying for himself. And I believe that when Zechariah was doing that, he was praying yet again, one more time, can I get a child? And God said, yep. So much so that he sent an angel there, said, hey, your prayers have been heard. You're going to have a baby. And he goes, what, for real? How's that going to happen? My wife's ancient. Like, he isn't, right? And then Gabriel, the messenger, the angel goes, okay, you're done talking for 9 months. Now, fast forward just a little bit. About 6 months later, there's this wonderful, godly young woman, engaged, yet a virgin, which sounds odd, but there's a lot of people that still do that today. They wait until they get married to have sex. You can do that, friends. You can wait. And her name is Mary, and she gets told that she's going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. And she's so excited about it. She's so stoked about it. She goes, okay, wow, I'm a virgin. How's that going to work out? Not like it's not going to work out. Just like, hey, can you explain this to me? She believes she's got big picture going on, right? She's like, there's something going on here that I don't quite understand. Would you lay it out for me? And he's like, yeah, the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about it. I don't know if he had a New Jersey accent. I think maybe he did. Maybe. And so that leads us to this. I could have just said thinking bigger is keeping the main thing, but keep Jesus' gospel central. The good news is always the good news, no matter what. So with this, I want to say, in conclusion, following Jesus, okay, being Christ ones, being little Christ, being people that are about his kingdom, about being gospel-centric, Christocentric, is being a big thinker. It's thinking bigger, thinking more broadly, thinking about his kingdom. So this week, look for ways and ask God for strength to think, love, and live as a big thinker. I know you can. I know we can because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He who began this great work is going to complete it. And sometimes it looks like he's like taking his sweet time. Well, since he's the worker of this and we're his workmanship, trust him. Lean in. Friends, think bigger. Help each other to think bigger. I have some questions for you that are on the screen, and I appreciate it. Who's up there doing that? Is that Paige? Thank you so much, Paige. Great job today. So here's your questions. Take a quick picture of that online, please. Over donuts, over breakfast, over after you're done with your morning workout, because you're that kind of person. Good job. After that, discuss these things. And I'll start with the first question. What does think bigger mean to you? Jesus, we want to trust you. We want to believe you. We want to think bigger about you and what you can do. God, I've needed this message. It's so good for my soul. I pray that I'm not the only beneficiary of it. I pray, Lord, that you would pour in to my friends, to my family, God, to those that I don't even know yet. Would you help us to think bigger, to be partakers of this grace, and that this grace, as Zach said earlier, transforms the deformed. God, you're awesome, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be strong and courageous, and let it be contagious. Shalom.